Thanks for tuning in today. Please visit NamorisWellBeyond.org to catch all our episodes and sign up for our monthly newsletter. You can also use the voicemail feature on the website to leave a message with your episode ideas or questions. You just might be featured on an upcoming episode of the show. Without further ado, let's go. Well Beyond Medicine.
Welcome to Well Beyond Medicine, the Nemours Children's Health Podcast. Each week, we'll explore anything and everything related to the 80% of child health impacts that occur outside the doctor's office. I'm your host, Carol Vassar. And now that you're here, let's go.
Let's go. Well Beyond Medicine.
Even in the worst of conditions, can you be grateful in something and not have to be grateful for? And Nick was never grateful for cancer, but he always looked for ways that he could be grateful in cancer.
That's entrepreneur coach Lee Brower talking about his son, Nick, who died in 2011 at the age of 22 as a result of a rare soft tissue cancer. During his four-year battle against cancer, Nick was buoyed by an attitude of gratitude. And that's what we're talking about today, gratitude, and the influence that practicing gratitude has on mind, body, and spirit. We'll hear more of Lee and Nick's story shortly, as well as that of Michael Rouse, CEO and co-founder of ESF Camps and Experiences, whose mission includes instilling gratitude practices in its young campers. So what is gratitude, particularly from a clinical perspective, and how does it benefit children and adults alike? To answer these questions and more, we turn first to Nemours pediatric orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Alfred Atanda.
So, I mean, the way I view it, it's basically the acknowledgement and being thankful for the little good that one has in their lives. And oftentimes when things are, quote unquote, not so good, it's really hard to do that and appreciate that. From a clinical definition perspective, the more robotic sounding definition is the appreciation of what is valuable and meaningful to oneself, which kind of goes along with, you know, kind of what I figured gratitude to be.
And as we talk about a clinical definition, let's ask the question, how does gratitude influence a person's well-being? Does it?
Yeah, there are definitely physical and psychological health benefits to practicing gratitude and living with gratitude. And a lot of research has shown that it helps decrease anxiety and depression and other mental health challenges. It helps improve sleep. It helps improve your own immunity to diseases. It helps increase the social bonds and the ties that bond us together as human beings, as well as helps increase resilience and have the tools to cope and deal with adversity.
As we talk about gratitude and resilience and maybe increasing the bonds with other people, we know that the Surgeon General has called loneliness an epidemic. Can living in gratitude aid in forming and continuing positive relationships, whether they're personal, professional, and thereby help and get at the issue of loneliness?
For sure. As I mentioned, I think, you know, living in gratitude does help improve the social bonds and ties, in interpersonal ties between human beings. I think, you know, this idea of loneliness is a feeling, right? Because you may not actually be lonely. You may have a spouse or a partner and a bunch of kids and pets running around your house, but you can still feel lonely. And I think the idea of being able to display gratitude consistently, regardless of your particular situation, can provide that hope. Because if you are feeling lonely and isolated, but you are able to acknowledge the good things that are going on in your life, no matter how small they may be, that can help get you out of that rut of loneliness and provide some hope that if you can acknowledge that things are good, maybe you can be hopeful that they can get better too.
What are some of the measurable, like tangible ways to assess gratitude in our own lives, especially when it comes to our well-being, our psychological health, our physical health?
Yeah, I actually had to do some digging to kind of look up some of these objective measures. I always think of more qualitative, subjective measures. you know, just understanding gratitude and practicing gratitude. But there's a gratitude questionnaire that's readily available, as well as a gratitude resentment and an appreciation scale. These are very short, validated surveys. I think they're about 5 to 10 questions that can give you an objective measure of your gratitude. Things like that are good because you can do them multiple times over time, meaning you do them now at time zero, then you maybe practice gratitude or think of different gratitude interventions, and then, you know, you can assess it again at some time point in the future. You can do it for a team or your family. There are definitely things out there. A lot of people don't necessarily utilize those. A lot of regular people, they're probably more for psychologists and therapists and such. But there are definitely ways out there to objectively measure gratitude, for sure.
How do you personally see gratitude at work in your life?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because as a busy physician, you know, who is navigating the chaotic, complex healthcare ecosystem, sometimes I get bogged down and mired down with the work and productivity and compliance with HIPAA and legal and risk and all the external pressures that I have to be a physician. And oftentimes it's kind of hard to understand what it is that, you know, moves you, motivates you, that you're thankful for. I always give this analogy that, you know, if I give you an oyster and I tell you to find the pearl in the oyster and I just hand it to you, it's very easy to open the oyster and there's your pearl. You know, that's what motivates you and drives you and what you're all about. But if I took that same oyster and I threw it into the Pacific Ocean, it's going to be a lot harder to find not only the oyster, but to find the pearl. And that's kind of what it is. At least my own experience in my career is that I know why I do what I do, but there's so many other factors and things and tasks and administrative burden and responsibilities that get in the way of that. And when I found myself kind of being affected by that, I was a lot more intentional about my experiences with each patient. So when I see a patient in clinic, yes, I do have to document, and sometimes I'm rushed and I have to get them in and out of the room and help them and satisfy them. But I always try to be intentional about each encounter and say, you know what? What about this encounter makes my heart warm? And it's usually the connection and the bond and just sitting there with another human being or a family and helping them through tough times and any adversity that they're facing. And again, as a neurotic kind of type A doctor, I am very well in tune with all the work that goes along with seeing one patient, but I try to be as intentional as humanly possible to be thankful for that interaction. Not everybody gets to wake up every day and say that they're an orthopedic surgeon or they're a physician or they're X, Y, or Z professional. There are many people who would do anything to be in my position, and I try to remain thankful and grateful for that, even though sometimes it's hard to keep that at top of mind, for sure.
Let's talk about the kids. What's the best approach for parents to begin to instill gratitude in their children, or maybe extend the gratitude practices they've already been working on with their kids?
You know, one thing that I've learned as a pediatric orthopedic surgeon, as well as a dad, is that kids don't like to be told what to do. And what I've learned is the best way to teach your child something is to show them. If you live your life in a particular way, believe it or not, your kids are like sponges and will absorb and really have instilled in them what you're doing, because we are their primary role models as parents, and this is their way of navigating the world. They see how their parents did it. And I think, you know, you can have some conversations about gratitude, but I wouldn't necessarily sit them down and say, okay, you know, 1 hour every other day, we're going to practice gratitude. It has to be like you emulating that to them and then piquing their interest. And then like, oh, dad, what are you doing over there? You know, and then you can explain it to them. But it's a very gentle conversation. It's just like trying to get them to clean their room or trying to eat their vegetables. If you just blaze in there, you know, guns blazing, and tell them to do X, Y, or Z, especially the teenagers, they're probably just going to shut down. So I always tell folks, if there's anything that you want your kids to do, you may want to start by doing it yourself and emulating that and demonstrating that to them, and then having kind of, you know, subtle conversations with them, especially gratitude, right? It's something that can be like very awkward and uncomfortable for children. So it has to be something that you instill in them kind of on their own terms when they're ready. And some kids just may not be ready, or their brains don't work that way, or that's not a big priority for them at this particular stage in their life or grade or whatever. But keeping it in the background and displaying it early and often so they can see it, I think is probably your best bet.
How much connection is there between gratitude and empathy?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I've never really thought of that per se. I do think that gratitude and empathy are skills and emotions that emotionally intelligent individuals tend to have. People who are self-aware, people who can self-regulate themselves, people who can really take like an outsider's view of themselves and how they fit in the greater world around them, as opposed to just being so focused on the inside of what you're experiencing. It's kind of like taking that step, that kind of outer body experience view, I guess, of just seeing how you are moving and navigating through the world. And I think part of that is being understanding that a lot of what happens to you and a lot of what you experience is out of your control. And the gratitude piece comes into play to just be glad and thankful that you were even able to experience whatever it may be. Sometimes it may be a quote unquote negative experience, but if this is quote unquote the universe's plan for you, it's just part of the journey. And we're not in any position to say certain experiences are bad, certain ones are negative. They just are. And when you look at it that way, it helps kind of your perspective of what's happening to you, because it's very easy to live in a world of lack or a world of without, you know, like, oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had that, or I wish I didn't have that. And I think when you get that kind of new perspective and utilizing gratitude, it helps with those situations. And then on the flip side, when you talk about empathy, like I said, you look at how you fit into the greater world, and some of that is going to involve with how you relate to other people and the ability to be empathetic. That's where it comes from, understanding what other people are going through, understanding that their viewpoint is different. If you don't mind, I wanted to give a quick example of, you know, about a couple of weeks ago, we got out of the car in the house and kids were getting out. We're in the garage, we're going inside. And my son just starts freaking out and yelling and screaming. And it turns out there was an enormous spider that was hanging from a thread, you know, its little silk thread. And I got out of the car and I couldn't see it because, you know, just the way the angle was, and it was so thin and faint. And the first thing that popped into my head is like, why is he freaking out? Oh my God, I got to go in and make dinner. I'm so tired from surgery. Why does he got to misbehave, blah, blah, blah. But he said, no, Dad, come over here. Come over here. So when I went to stand where he was standing, then I can see the world from his point of view. And then I freaked out because the spider was big. And, you know, I dealt with it, obviously. But that, like, really resonated with me because that's, you know, it's a silly analogy. But that's often how we view the world. Like, people say things or do things, and we automatically assume why they're doing it or why they're saying it. We may judge them for doing it or saying it. But until you walk amongst the people, right? If you're trying to lead people, until you put yourself in their position, in their viewpoint, you may not understand what they're going through. And how am I supposed to help my son in that situation if I didn't go and stand where he was standing? If I just blew him off, I probably would have walked right into the spider because I couldn't see it. So long story short, empathy is huge too. And it's a learned skill and trait that they're never going to teach you in any textbook. Or maybe they do, but I didn't learn any of it in a textbook. And I try to be intentional about those sorts of things. So understanding me and what I have and being thankful, and also understanding the people that are in my environment and trying to look at the world from their lens from time to time.
Would you say that gratitude is also something you can't really learn in a textbook?
I mean, again, I wasn't like a psychology major, and I don't know what those guys learn in textbooks, but I'm guessing no. I think, you know, there are certain human traits and certain human qualities that are there to be learned, but you just have to be open to learning them. You know, we're creatures of habit. We're pretty set in our ways. And if navigating the world in this particular way has served us and we have a good job and we're successful and a family and a house and this and that, you know, if it isn't broke, why would you fix it? But I think it's when, even though things are going quote unquote okay, understanding how you can improve yourself, how you can improve the way you view the world, understanding how you can improve the way you interact with other people in your world, I think then it opens up a huge door of opportunities that you may not have realized that you had. And that's probably the one thing I've noticed in my journey with, you know, different endeavors I've done outside of traditional healthcare, is that everything is about relationships and the people that you meet and the opportunities that arise and seizing those opportunities. And most of my life, I was very closed off to being very open and really embracing other people. I was the guy, you know, at cocktail parties and at weddings who would talk to the two or three people that he knew. And I would just kind of stand there because it was comfortable, because it was what I knew. It was because what I was used to. I would like literally huddle around the people that I know. And that's how I lived most of my life up until about 5, maybe 7 years ago. And now I kind of do the direct opposite. You know, you're talking about gratitude. I find myself in a position where there are other human beings and I may feel uncomfortable, but this is a grateful moment to be here, to be able to experience these people and interact with these people. And you never know how anyone or anything is going to affect your life if you don't at least be open to the idea that they can make you a better person than you were before you met them. And that's just kind of how I try to view the world. And I talk about these things with my kids. Again, I don't shove it down their throats, but I do, you know, I talk to them about it and explain those sorts of things to them. And hopefully they'll pick up on some of those traits and they can learn some of these things at a much earlier age than I did. For me, something else that I've learned in my own personal journey is being intentional about gratitude. So I try to, like, some people have gratitude journals. They get a page out of a notebook and they just start writing what they're grateful for. I try to do it in more little snippets. So my girlfriend and I always talk about leaving little post-its around the house, somewhere that you go to a lot, like your mirror when you're brushing your teeth every single day, or that favorite cupboard where all your little snacks are. And then you put it there because you know you're going to see it. And just reminding yourself, like, hey, you know, be thankful for these snacks, or be thankful for this, or aren't you, you know, don't you feel so good that you have, I don't know, this TV show to watch, or whatever it may be. Because sometimes in busy professional lives with kids and domestic bliss and the hustle and bustle of everything, it's very easy to forget. So I leave notes for myself in ways that it makes it harder for me to forget. And they're simple, small tokens of appreciation, but life is a lot of small, tiny little moments added up. It's not like 5 huge, extraordinary moments. It's all of the little things, you know, that when you're hopefully 90, 95 years old and you're looking back at your life, you know, those are the little things that you're going to miss. And I'd rather start to enjoy them now as opposed to wait till I'm 95 to reflect and reminisce on them.
Dr. Alfred Atanda is a pediatric orthopedic surgeon with Nemours Children's Health. Lee Brower has incorporated the practice of gratitude into all aspects of his life, both personally and professionally. He believes, and I quote, "Gratitude, like light, is an active force. It requires energy, intention, and action to maintain and spread. It's something he has modeled for his clients and for his children and grandchildren, including his son Nick, who we learned about earlier." Lee joins us now alongside Michael Rouse, CEO and co-founder of ESF Camps and Experiences, to share more of Nick's story, as well as how gratitude principles can be shared in settings of both work and play. So, to Lee Brower, what is gratitude?
There's not a simple answer for that, okay? Because there's different levels of gratitude. If we were to poll your audience right now and say, raise your hand if you feel that you're an ungrateful person, you probably wouldn't get many hands go up. But yet what I would consider the lowest level of gratitude would be considered ingratitude or ungratefulness, and not in a bad way necessarily. I have a saying that says gratitude unexpressed is ingratitude perceived. And so we move at such a fast pace that we just assume because we feel gratitude that everybody knows that we feel gratitude, or we've expressed it once or twice, and so they just automatically assume it. So I know that I've been in that space, I'm sure, where people think he must be ungrateful because he hasn't thanked me for, you know, and so gratitude unexpressed is ingratitude perceived. But you move up the ladder then into what I call social gratitude. Now, social gratitude is what your mom and dad tell you. Make sure you say please and thank you. And we can talk more about that in a little bit too, because I think as it comes to cancer, that's an element that I think we can really help kids with. But, you know, make sure you say please and thank you. Tell the man please, or tell the man thank you. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. And that's really the essence of that, is to teach respect. Unfortunately, in today's world, oftentimes, especially in the retail world, thank you means I'm done with you. And so it's lost its meaning a little bit, but I think if we can treasure that and use it and train people with it, it's good. The third level is what we would call appreciative gratitude. And appreciative gratitude is sometimes confused with a positive attitude, but it's still showing appreciation. And when you show appreciation, your gratitude for that goes up automatically. If I appreciate you, I feel it raises the value for you to me. If I appreciate the weather, it's the same thing. And so it increases in value. However, that said, when I said that it's often confused with a positive attitude, if I'm grateful for requires comparison or expectation. I'm grateful for my health as compared to what? And so many times, I know I've said, my parents said to me, and I know I've said to my kids, look at so-and-so, it could be worse. You know, I could have a broken arm and somebody says, well, look at so-and-so, they don't even have an arm. So what am I supposed to do? Hope that everybody has something worse than me so I can be more grateful for my broken arm? That's comparison. The other side is expectation. Have you ever done something for somebody and they never said thank you, or you didn't like what they did? And so you said, that's the last time I'm doing something for them. Well, why'd you do it in the first place? You did it for you, expecting to get something in return. And so we call that more of a arrows in mindset. And so you have to be very careful when you're in appreciation that you're not doing it just for you. You're doing it for someone else. It's really an outward, which leads us to the highest level. So we've gone through ungrateful to social to appreciative to what we call empowered gratitude. And it's where you do things without expecting anything in return, maybe anonymously. So no expectation and no comparison. And so there's gratitude in action, and it's really what I call arrows out. True gratitude is really not all about me. Gratitude at its highest level is all about everything around you.
How do we get to that highest level?
Well, what you're talking about is mastery, you know, and I think there's a path to mastery. It starts with change your routines. I think if you're going to move to mastery, so develop a routine. I happen to have a gratitude rock that they used at ESF. Michael, when you talked about your company, that when the students would come in, and I happened to have one, what they would do is they'd break their students into pods, and they give this to one of the students in the pods during the day. When they see something that somebody else is, that they're grateful that somebody else has done, they give them the rock. And then that person holds onto the rock until he sees something that somebody else has done that they're grateful for, and he passes it to that person. And then whoever ends up with it late at night has to bring it back the next morning to make sure that it continues. But you see, when you look at the path to mastery, the first step is develop a routine. And what he's done there is help to develop a routine. Protect the routine long enough, it becomes a habit. Protect the habit long enough, it becomes a trait. You protect the trait long enough, it becomes your character.
Michael, when you introduce that to the kids you work with, what's their reaction? And what in the long term has been the experience for you and for them?
So, I have to tell you, first of all, as far as gratitude is concerned, I think we're born into this world where we all have some type of muscles. But to what Lee was just saying, you have to develop those muscles, and that's where the mastery piece comes in. And so we know at our camps that every one of our campers are capable. At a young age, we're just going to try to help strengthen those muscles. And so for us, it's really putting that gratitude rock into what we call a tradition, so that at the end of every day, whether that child is 4 years old or 14 years old, at the end of the day, in their own group or bunk, they're going to speak about what they were grateful for if they received it the day before. And what they're asked to do is to give that gratitude rock to another person who's not their best friend, and they need to catch somebody that did something really great today and let them know about it by giving them that gratitude rock. If you could imagine a four-year-old saying, I'm giving this to Sheila because in the first period of the day, she held the door for all of us. Sheila probably didn't know, wow, you saw me do that. And that develops what we call that attitude of having gratitude. And that goes for all of our staff as well. We're trying to catch kids doing great things and let them know about it. They're used to going to school being told, you can't do this, you can't do that. Sometimes they're being told that at home too. We're trying to do the exact opposite. We're trying to help them recognize, wow, you are really good at this in a very authentic way, and by developing those muscles of character. And so I'll give you a quick funny story that Lee knows. So we've been doing this gratitude rock, thanks to my friendship with Lee when he gave me this idea, for 20 years, right? And in the second year doing this, we had one of my staff members, directors, called me up and said, because whenever there's an emergency of some sort, they need to alert me that there could be something happening, because I'm kind of like their sounding board, their thinking partner, if I'm not there on that at that particular location. And the staff member called me up and said, I just got yelled at by a parent who is coming back from the shore. They're an hour and a half going south to New Jersey from our Pennsylvania location. The parent is with the child in their car going to the shore, and they have to turn around because they have to get something at camp, and they want me out front to greet them. And I said, is there any problem with the child? Was there any issues that happened at camp? And the director's like, absolutely none. I don't understand what's going on. I said, all right, just keep me posted. And sure enough, the parent pulls in, it's the father. He pulls in with the child, and he's like, I was almost to the beach and I had to turn around because my child needed to bring this thing back. And it was the gratitude rock. And in front of the parent, the young child, who's like 5 or 6, hands back the gratitude rock and says, could you please make sure that Joseph gets this today? And the director's like, absolutely. And now the father's like, now what is this rock? Please tell me what this rock is. And now the little child is saying, Dad, this rock is the gratitude rock, and explains it. And now the father's just like in tears, and he's like, oh my gosh, can I get one for my business? Can I get one for our house? And he was just so blown away because he was on a business call probably, and he just didn't even talk to his child about, well, why do we have to go back? And so it was one of those moments where it really, we knew that it was hitting home.
Lee, I want to follow up. You did mention your son, Nick. How did you find any kind of gratitude when your son was so sick with cancer?
The thing that we've learned, the highest level of gratitude, okay, when you really think about the highest level of gratitude, even in the worst of conditions, can you be grateful in something and not have to be grateful for? And Nick was never grateful for cancer, but he always looked for ways that he could be grateful in cancer. We actually have a video of him. We didn't even know it was existed till after he had passed. He was being interviewed by a TV station. We didn't even know about it, but it went national. And he said, I never asked why me. I only asked what could I do now that I have cancer. And that wasn't something that happened overnight. That was battling with cancer for 4 years and going through it and asking yourself, who can I see today that I would be invisible to me, that I could express gratitude to? And that's a question, that's what we call an empowering question. Now, I did it myself. One time I woke up one morning and said, who can I see today? And I was in Chicago. And I go to Chicago every month to coach entrepreneurs. They fly in from all around the world. The same ones come back every 90 days. So I've had them that have been there for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years in a row. And I walked into the bathroom. All I did was ask my subconscious mind, can I see somebody to say today that's normally invisible to me that I should be saying thank you to? That's all I asked. And I walked in the bathroom, and here's this tall man coming in there, and he was cleaning up the bathroom. And I said, are you responsible for this? And he kind of took that like, uh-oh. And he goes, yes, sir. I said, I've been coming here for years. You can eat off the floor in here. You do such a great job of keeping this. You know, there's people that come in from all around the world, business owners that come in to try to learn how, and they take back what they learn. If they came into a room that was messy, it would detract away from that. So in some small way, you're blessing entrepreneurs around the world and their employees and everything just by doing this. And he teared up. I walked back into the room. Now, the average person in that room had been coming 3 to 5 years. I said, can you tell me what the janitor looks like? Not one hand could go up. And so just by asking the question, and that's where we worked with Nick. Who can you see today, Nick, that you could express gratitude for that normally would be invisible to you? You start asking that question, you would be surprised. Sometimes all it takes is a smile from you because you see somebody that you're grateful for. But I've learned over the years, I could get off an airplane and I see the people coming to clean it off and I'll tell each one of them, thank you, because they make the plane cleaner for me. They've been invisible to me. I don't see them. But once you start asking that question, you start to see other things. So I don't have to be grateful for cancer. I can be grateful in no matter what my circumstances. And that is so powerful. What that releases into your body, the mindset, what it does for your system is immensely powerful. You know, sitting here thinking about Nick's attitude himself, one time when he was going through really tough pain and a good friend of ours who had been in an accident, paralyzed from here down, and then they just discovered that his wife had ovarian cancer. And I was talking to him, and you know the story about where everybody, I said, everybody puts their problems in the middle of a pile. And then they wave a magic wand, you can take your worst problem, put it in the pile and go back and pick somebody else's. And when they did that experiment, everybody went out, picked their own and brought it back. So I was sharing that with Nick, and Nick and my wife, Lori, we were just, the three of us were sitting there, and I was telling him, like, as bad as yours is, here's somebody else that's going with a tough one. And so when I finished explaining it, he goes, I wouldn't take mine back. And it caught us off guard a little bit and just dead quiet. It was an emotional moment. And then he, after a long, long pause, he looked at us and he goes, unless it meant that somebody else had to take mine. And he says, then I would take mine back. And, you know, that was his mindset. And it was something that evolved with the cancer. It was something that evolved along the way. And I can tell you more stories where the whole concept of being in gratitude is something that we continue to learn about ourselves. Another thing that I want to say, I made a note, you know, just thinking about this, that I think could be helpful for caregivers is saying, I'm sorry. And I think we all say, I'm sorry way too much. You know what I mean? You know, you give a kid a shot and say, I'm so sorry, so sorry. You miss the opportunity to express gratitude. So every time now when I say, I'm sorry, I ask myself, could I have done that in a different way by just simply expressing gratitude? I'm grateful for your courage. It inspires me. Thank you for being strong. It inspires me. I know this hurts, so thank you for being brave. You know what I mean? Saying I'm sorry kind of leaves like, oh, you're doing something wrong or you're hurting him. You know what I mean? Think about catching a flight and you hear the flight attendant come on, the flight's late, says, ladies and gentlemen, we want to apologize for the weather. And you're like, why? Wait, you don't have, what right do you have to apologize for the weather? You know what I mean? But you're setting up the crowd to be grumbly and to not be happy, where you had the opportunity to thank us for patience and understanding and that kind of a thing. And I just think really understanding that concept of how gratitude can interact and bring out the best behaviors of all of us rather than the words, I'm sorry, is a great aha. I'll just put it that way.
Lee Brower is an entrepreneur coach and founder of Empowered Wealth based in Salt Lake City. He was joined in conversation by Michael Rouse, CEO and co-founder of ESF Camps and Experiences, a Nemours Health and Wellness partner with camps in Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania.
Well beyond medicine.
Can I just say, I'm grateful for you, our listeners. I truly am. Now it's your turn to share. How do you experience or show gratitude? Leave us a voicemail on our podcast website, nemourswellbeyond.org. That's nemourswellbeyond.org, the very same place where you can listen to all of our podcast episodes, subscribe, and leave a review. Our production team for this week, for whom I am definitely grateful, includes Cheryl Munn, Susan Masucci, Lauren Tata, and Che Parker. Join us next time for a conversation with the new Chief Executive Officer of the Children's Hospital Association, Matthew Cook. I'm Carol Vassar, and until then, remember, we can change children's health for good, well beyond medicine.
Let's go!